Well, good morning, girls and boys. I have to say, I didn't think I would see you this morning. I had rather a terrible night, and I was absolutely sure that I had developed the symptoms of the COVID virus. But I tested clear this morning, for which I am thankful. The psalm we sung, Psalm 41, this morning, or at least part of it, I picked because it makes reference to the poor. And of course, in the final verse of Psalm 15, that we will be looking at in a moment or two, there is a reference to how we relate to those who are poor and what help we can give them. And when we do give them help, there's something we are forbidden by the Lord to do. But I was interested as we sang Psalm 41, that lovely verse 3, which says, "The Lord will strengthen when on bed of weakness he," that is the blessed man, "he doth mourn, and in his sickness sore, O Lord, then all his bed will turn." You might not fully understand just what that means, turning the bed. But in the hospital, nurses, and those who are termed, I think, ward orderlies, that's what they used to be termed, maybe they have a different title now, but ladies, and sometimes now men folk as well, who are sort of below the rank of nurse, but who help in the ward and give assistance to patients, one of the simplest things they can do to aid the one who's suffering is to turn or make their bed. They puff up their pillow, they straighten the blankets, and they just make the bed as comfortable as it can be for the patient. Now, as I say, that's a very simple and lowly task, and yet it's a task that God undertakes. And it's a wonderful thing to think that the Lord, in his kindness and mercy, stoops down so low when we're not feeling good to make our bed, to turn our bed, puff up our pillows, and make us comfortable. Isn't the Lord good? Oh, boys and girls, how kind is the Lord. Well, let's turn to Psalm 15. We're coming to the end of our study. And as I've already told you, we'll be turning to Psalm 19 next week, in the will of the Lord. But now we turn to the last verse of this Psalm 15. And the last verse, the verse 5 of Psalm 15, says, "He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved." Who is referred to here by the very first word? He. Who is the he? Well, we find it in the opening verses of the psalm. Let me remind you. Lord, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Then if we go to verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury. It's the person who is going to share fellowship and company with the Lord and be with him in his temple and walk with him every day. Now we have looked in this psalm at the description of the person that God is going to so bless. And we saw in verse 2 his walk, his work, his words. Then we saw in verse 3 how that he doesn't speak unkindly of his neighbor, nor backbite. Some people do that, even Christians. The way a dog would bite you. Christians bite, not with their teeth, but with their words. They say unkind things that cut, that hurt, that wound. Well, the one that's going to enjoy God's blessing and presence, he doesn't do that. It went on down to verse 4, and then it speaks of our view of a vile person, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. That's what the word contemned really means. Despised. You don't look at a vile person and say, oh, aren't they wonderful? Well, again, as I said, there are Christians who do that. They admire pop stars, sports stars, who are filthy in their lifestyle, in their speech, and in every way you look at them, they're wicked. And it doesn't matter what other things might be said in their favour. I would always find it very hard to find anything in their favour, but maybe some people think there's some favourable things about them. But the fact that they're vile cancels out anything that might appear favourable in their person. And God wants us to consider the vile person as someone to be despised, not to be honoured, not to be honoured. But on the other hand, He honoureth those that fear the Lord. He loves the saints. He loves the brethren. He loves the people of God. And He honours them. And He does everything He can to help them. That's the person who'll walk with God and know the Lord's blessing. Now we come to the last verse. And boys and girls, I want you to notice that not only those obvious things, how we walk, how we work, how we speak, how we act towards others, not only those things, but what you do with your money is important to God. It's important to God. When God's going to favour someone and bless someone, He considers how they handle their money. Their pocket is something God pays attention to. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. What you do with your money is not just important, but if you do wrong with your money, it can cut you off from the presence and blessing of God. And I want you to remember this, for soon you'll leave school and you'll go out into the world and you'll begin to earn money. And it's important for you, if you profess faith in Christ, that you have the right attitude regarding that money that you will earn. How we use our money then is very important to God. Very important to God. There's all too many Christians who sort of feel, well, my business is outside of what God's interested in. How I conduct my business and how I seek to make a profit and the deals that I make and the deals with those that I meet who perhaps are not the most honest individual, all that doesn't matter. Yeah, but it does. What you do with your money, how you get your money, is important to God. It's important to God. Why is that so? Because, boys and girls, every penny your dad has, every penny your mother has, and every penny maybe you have, God gave it to you. Did you ever think of that? God gave it to you. And I have often seen in the news evidence of how rich men suddenly lose everything. In recent days, there have been reports of that happening. Men with millions and millions and millions, their business just flopped, and they had nothing. Because the Lord giveth and the Lord can take away. There's a verse over in 1 Corinthians. In fact, Mr. Crane mentioned this verse on the Lord's Day past when he was preaching. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Here's what it says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, underscore that, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. So the Lord's day is a day when, out of what God has given us, we take a portion and we put it aside in the Lord's treasury for the promotion of the Lord's work. But notice the phrase, lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It wasn't his learning, it wasn't his skill, it was God that gave him the prosperity. Boy and girl, I so want you to understand that. I so want you to understand that. Because it's something that's never, never thought of out there in the world, and many, many Christians never even give thought to it. That all I have, the Lord gave it to me. All I have, the Lord gave it to me. Now, the Lord's day is the very best day, no better day. And there's no better place than the Lord's house when we gather with God's people to worship the Lord, to remember His kindness to us, and to remember also the work of God, and put aside, out of our prosperity, money to be used in the cause of God. Aye, and it also includes money that can be used to the helping of others, missionaries, and those who are in financial need. The church can pay gifts out of the money that the members give to those who are maybe facing starvation and hardship. This is what God tells us to do, out of what He has given us. He it is that has prospered us. Now, if we don't do that, He can very easily, to use a phrase that we're used to, He can very easily pull the plug. You know what that means? If you're listening to a radio or a CD player and somebody sneaks up and pulls the plug out of the socket, everything stops. Well, God can pull the plug on man's prosperity because it is He who is giving it to him. How very few, as I said, are aware of this, and who give thanks to the Lord for His kindness, and who, out of what God has given them, give back something to the work of God. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12, we read these words: Then Isaac sowed in that land. He planted crops and received in the same year that he planted his crops an hundredfold. So that for every little seed he planted, he got 100 back. That's pretty good profit levels, isn't it? If every penny you had, you were able to invest and get 100 pennies back, that would be good business. Well, that's how it was with Isaac. Why? Well, the rest of the verse says, And the Lord blessed him. That's where the prosperity came from. That's where the fruitfulness of the ground came from. That's where the bountiful harvest that he reaped came from. The blessing of the Lord. I always think of a verse that says, The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Much of the riches that men make in this world, you know, it adds sorrow to them. Did you know that? I remember a lady who won a fortune of money on the lottery or something or other. It was maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 million. And from the day she got the money, she got trouble. Until only a year or so after it, she said, I wish I had never seen it. Why? Because people flocked to pester her and say, with all that money, surely you can help me. People she didn't even know. And there were all sorts of pressures came on her. And her life was disturbed. And the simple life she had been living up till then, relatively peaceful and happy, was disturbed. But when God makes you rich, there's no sorrow. No sorrow comes with His riches. I tell you, boys and girls, how we use our money, how we make our money, is of interest and is important to God. The second thing I want you to notice is that we must not use what money God is pleased to give us to the hurt of others. See what it says? He that putteth not out his money to usury. What does that mean? Well, the word usury refers to the practice of loaning out money and then saying, you have to repay that to me plus interest. And God says, you're not to do that. Here's what we read in Exodus chapter 22. The verse 25, If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor, Christians can come on hard times, and they can require help from other Christians. But if other Christians come to their aid and loan them money, God says, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Someone who demands interest, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. That's interesting. If you loan your money to a Christian because a Christian's in hardship, you shouldn't charge interest, but rather look to the Lord to bless you as a result of doing that, and He'll give you interest. He'll enrich you for doing that. I'll read two other passages. Leviticus. The chapter 25, because this is important, boys and girls, that you get this. It's not widely recognized. Many years ago, I objected to an interest rate being imposed upon any who received help from a central fund. Maybe they were building a church and they could do with some help. There were arrangements being set up whereby each church would give something into that fund, and then when a church needed something, there would be money there for them to use. And I objected to the instituting of interest in that process. I was looked upon as a sort of a nutcase, because everybody said, but when you go to the bank, you pay interest. When you go to the mortgage company and borrow money, you have to pay interest. Well, that's right. That's what the world demands. But God says you're not to charge interest. Look at Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor, as I say, that can happen, and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him. Now remember what that means. Interest. The margin of my Bible says, usury is interest on money lent. You're to lend him £100 and he pays you back when he can £100. Not 110, not 150, just 100 that you loan him. You don't charge him anything. That's what God says. One other verse, or one other passage, it's in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, that comes before the Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And Nehemiah's engaged in rebuilding the derelict city of Jerusalem and stirring up the people to get busy at the restoring of God's city. And they run into all sorts of trouble because the people were not very cooperative. And they put their own interest before the interest of God. And in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, and the verse 7, we read, then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact or require usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. That's what was happening among God's people in a day when there was a measure of reviving amongst them. But on this question of money, they were not right. And they were being unkind to their poor brethren around them and seeking to make money from their hardships and their poverty. As I say, usury is to lend to those that need but require a profit when it is repaid. In Proverbs 28 and 8, usury is defined as unjust gain. God doesn't like us who have received from him freely. Freely. He never asked you to repay anything. So when we begin to act towards others who are in need in a most unkind fashion, that vexes God. We who have been the recipients of his free mercy, free grace, are acting towards others and charging them for the help we give. That vexes God. For it's clear that as we do that, we have forgotten how God dealt with us in kindness, because if we bore that in mind, we would act toward others as God acted toward us. Today in society, we have those who are called loan sharks. That's a very descriptive term. You'll not get much help from a shark, and I've often seen little videos where on a beach in some other part of the world, the cry goes up, shark! Shark! And everybody comes pell-mell out of the sea as fast as they can. They have to get bitten by the shark, and many of them don't make it. And a loan shark is someone who offers you a loan of money, but bothers a bait because they charge you very high interest or usury rates. And they're hated and despised. And the law is made to try and curb their activities. So then, We must not hurt others by using the money God has given us in an unfair and unchristian fashion. One last thing. Those who abide by the rules set down in this psalm, and I needn't go over them again, but I would draw your attention to them. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaketh truth in his heart, etc., etc. That person shall be blessed of God, and shall be made welcome in his house, and shall enjoy God's presence. Look at what it says. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That's saying a lot, boys and girls. Never be moved. The blessing that God bestows upon those who keep his commandments set down in this psalm, the blessing is that they'll never be moved. Now the word moved means they'll never totter, they'll never fall, they'll never slip, they'll never be overthrown. That's how the word appears in other passages of the scriptures. God will uphold the person who obeys him, so that they'll never totter or fall or slip. Now to be given such a promise by God shows how important it is for us to live so as to please him. If you do a job for someone, and at the end of the work, they say to you, well, what are you going to charge me? And you say, well, £50. And they say, what? Is that all? Oh, what you did was worth far more than that to me. Here's £100. That's an indication that what you did was good and important. And when God gives such a reward as that's spoken of here, it shows how important it is to walk with him. It shows that God is pleased with those who walk with him and obey his law and his commandments. He gives this great reward to them. Boys and girls, it is to our benefit to obey God and submit to his laws. We shall be kept by him. He'll watch over us. He'll watch over us. What a wonderful thing it is to know God's watching over me. And of course, God's watching over you if you obey him. In Psalm 91, lovely verse, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now I have to confess that I don't understand fully what that means, but this I do know. God's angels are given the task of looking after his obedient ones, his faithful ones. What a mercy that is. What a mercy that is. You remember when Peter was in jail? Acts 12, it says God sent his angel and he opened the jail doors and out came Peter. And they did it without any keys or anything else, because no jail door can withstand the power of God. Well, let me tell you that there are any amount of wonderful accounts of God miraculously, wondrously, supernaturally looking after his people. And it can be seen that angels were at work. Did you ever think of this? Oh, to obey God reaps a great harvest. How wise it is to obey God and walk in his path. Walk in his path. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts, boys and girls, and may you learn from it today to the blessing of your souls. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank thee that thou art a kind God, a merciful God. What benefits thou dost heap upon us. Just like Isaac, who took one seed and sowed it, and God made 100 to grow. So, Lord, when we do some wee thing for thee, thou dost give us a very rich harvest in return. Give understanding to the children. Let this be impressed upon their hearts. Remember the school today, Lord. O God, we would plead that kindness that we have been speaking of here, and we pray that you will prosper the work of God here. Answer the prayers of our school for Jesus' sake, remembering those who are sick. O hear us. In the Saviour's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.